Already on the phone right now is author Deanna Rayburn. Her new book, A Ghastly Catastrophe. We finally have a new Veronica Speedwell Mysteries in stores on March 3rd, and she's up early to talk to me today. Hey, Deanna, how are you?
I'm good. I haven't had my tea yet, Mark. We'll try and make it through.
Wait a minute. Tea? What are you, Veronica? You don't do coffee?
I don't do coffee, no. No, my family's English. I'm a tea drinker.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I don't like coffee either. I drink tea. So we have a couple of milestones here this morning, Deanna. This is your 10th book in this series, and this is our 10th interview.
I started thinking about that when we scheduled the interview. I was like, have we done one for every single Veronica? Because it feels like we have.
I think, yeah, because you've only had two of the old people books, right?
I've had two of the standalones, yeah, since I moved over and started publishing with Penguin. I had 9 books with another publisher before I went to Penguin.
No, we must have started with book number, if this is our 10th interview and I did 2 with those, that means we did 8 interviews for the Veronica series, so I think I missed the first 2.
Okay. All right, so you came in on A Treacherous Curse.
Yeah, I believe that was
that
one.
That would have been book 3. Yeah. Our Egyptology book, it feels like a million years ago.
So were the first 2 books, were they just, was that like the introduction to Veronica and Stokely, or did you just come out and you just wrote them and the books took off?
Yeah, A Curious Beginning is the first book in the series, and that is where Veronica and Stoker actually meet for the first time.
Oh, well, I got to go back and
so
read that.
That's when... I can't believe you haven't read it, Mark.
No.
You're so into Veronica and all of her adventures. I can't believe you haven't seen that one yet. But yeah, that's where they meet for the first time, and their life together begins. You know, falling over dead bodies and working in the Rose Moran collection and everything else that they do.
And that's where we learn about her lineage to the throne.
Yeah. That's in the first book.
Well, I'm going to have to go back. Hey, Berkeley, send me a copy of the book. Thank you. Okay, let's see if that works.
And hook him up with A Perilous Undertaking while you're at it.
Yeah.
Book 2.
Yeah. So in the new book, we have vampires, possibly. Vampires, Deanna.
We possibly have vampires, yeah.
Here's my notes. Lady Julia, which is a throwback to another series. And that's not a spoiler because it's in the synopsis that the book company put out. Vampires. JJ the Reporter has kind of a big little role in this book for a change. She's kind of all over the book. And
yeah, she is.
And my favorite gets a cameo, Tiberius.
I know. You know, I felt like it was definitely time for a Tiberius scene. And I had wanted to kind of do a little bit of a crossover event for several books now with Lady Julia, who is from a previous Victorian mystery series I used to write. And it wasn't until the last book before this one, A Grave Robbery, that I had an opportunity to kind of let the worlds collide. And Lady Julia's sister pops up in that one very, very briefly. And you'd have to be familiar with the Julia books to know that that's her. And then I thought, you know what? The 10th book, this is a big kind of milestone moment. This is the perfect book to do a crossover and to bring in Julia and her husband Nicholas, because they're solvers of mysteries as well. They have a fair bit of chaos in their lives, and I thought, okay, who's the perfect person to introduce these two couples? Well, Tiberius knows everybody, so it was a good opportunity to get Tiberius in there, because I love any scene I can write that's got Tiberius in it. I just really have to be careful not to do too many scenes with Tiberius, because he's so much fun to write. It would be very easy to let him take over an entire book.
Well, maybe we need a whole Tiberius book.
We've had a Tiberius book. Tiberius got book 4.
Yeah, I know. And then he had that book.
There was a lot of Tiberius in that book.
And then a few books ago, we had that other one with him where we got humanized a bit.
Yeah. And, yeah, we love us some Tiberius.
And he doesn't cause any problems in this book. It's just kind of a quick cameo with him.
He's not, for once.
Yeah.
For once. You know, he and Stoker are not giving each other swirlies or, you know, whatever it is Victorian brothers do to each other when they're not always getting along. No, he takes them to the theater and provides introductions, and you know, he's something of a house cat right now. He's just being very tame and very sweet. So
well, I think
I don't trust it. I feel like he's going to kick up a fuss in another book or two.
He grew up a little bit since that. What was it? 2-3 books ago, when he had that major storyline that we got to know him a little better.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, you're right. We have had 2 Tiberius books. We've had, I think, book 4 and maybe book 7.
Yeah.
We're pretty heavy on the Tiberius front.
Well,
readers always love some Tiberius. But, you know, when you've got supporting characters that are as strong-willed as Tiberius and J.J. Butterworth, and you kind of have to be careful how often you let them off the leash. And this was J.J.'s book. You know, this was her opportunity to have a little bit more involvement. Not as much as Tiberius usually gets, but she's in this one a fair bit.
Now, in this book, Veronica and Stoker are pretty bored. Nothing's been happening lately for them. They're just doing their work for for the Lord that they work for. But they want some adventure. They want, should I say, they want some deaths to investigate.
They've gotten in the habit of it. They're good at it. So, and because they're natural historians, I mean, they have a different relationship with death than I think we do. And especially because they're Victorian natural historians, you know, they see a lot more of it. And so they put it into a different context than we do. And for them, a lot of times it's about the intellectual puzzle of solving what went on, and about the idea of seeing justice done for somebody who was killed, you know, before their time.
Yeah, the young man is found entirely drained of blood next to Highgate Cemetery. Then another victim is found, made to look like a suicide. Then they end up meeting Lady Julia and her husband, Nicholas, who occasionally track down murderers as well. Then they learn about a secret society and a dangerous sect looking to entice immortality seekers. Veronica and Stoker finally find themselves ensnared by a decidedly more sinister couple than themselves. And then it leads to them doing their investigations. It leads to them being their lives being in peril. And you know how it goes. They're always in trouble, and hopefully they can get out of it before it's too late.
They're always in trouble. They're always in peril. Stoker usually ends up with bruises or stitches. I mean, they're not a couple who's just going to sit around and, you know, enjoy a tea party with the dogs. But I think this is our first book with no new pet.
Oh, yeah, I didn't
even
notice that.
We've got a pet in this one. I think we just have the regular experience of the dogs roaming around. Because we, you know, for a while there, we were adding a brand new dog to the menagerie every book. And I think I had to slow that down. They were getting too many dogs.
Well, they had JJ, the reporter, around to help look after the dogs in this book.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And JJ's kind of bonded with the pack, so it's all good.
So is JJ becoming, have you thought about JJ in the future books? Is she going to be becoming a member of the team more so than she already is?
You know, I think it's going to depend entirely as we go forward from book to book what I need her to do. I really enjoyed giving her kind of a more forward role in this book and seeing a little bit more of her. I think she's a character who has a lot going for her. You know, she's smart, she's intrepid, she's fearless. She has a lot of the same qualities that Veronica has, but I think she would probably be a little bit less irritating to know on a day-to-day basis. I feel like Veronica would just drive me up a wall because she's so, you know, kind of gung-ho for adventure and throwing herself into these ridiculous situations. I think JJ has maybe just a hair more self-preservation than Veronica does. So it might be fun to explore her a bit. But also, I mean, they kind of egg each other on. So if I brought her in more often, Veronica might get even worse.
That's true. You can people can go to your website, DeannaRayburn.com. You're going on a 6-city book tour, doing a Houston, among other cities. They can see your website. Do you do readings? What do? At your bookstores, your bookshow stores?
So the book signings are all Q&A.
Oh, okay.
I don't ever do readings. So it's a chance. The booksellers will, you know, do a little Q&A with me, and then we open it up to the floor so people can ask whatever they like. And we have signed books. And if folks are not able to make a book signing, every one of the bookstores I'm going to is happy to ship. So you can get books signed regardless of whether you're there in person or not. But I'd love to see folks turn out. It's always, you know, writing is a very solitary occupation. So it's nice to get out on the road and you know, see readers in person and get that little bump of enthusiasm before I have to go back to work.
Now, when you do these Q&As, do you warn people to try not to ask spoiler questions? Because not everybody might have read the book.
Oh, that's such a great point. Yeah, I do really try to keep it a spoiler-free discussion because usually, like, I'm on tour the week that the book has dropped. And so most people in the audience will not have had a chance to read it yet. So we try to keep it spoiler-free. If folks want to ask a spoilery question, the time to do it is afterwards when I'm signing your book.
And who do people...
Then I'm happy to discuss spoilers when other folks really can't hear it.
Do you find, Carrot, that the people at the signings have more of a preference for Veronica, for Stoker, for Tiberius, for JJ? I mean, do they seldom go one way or the other, or is it a split audience? Or
people have very strong feelings, and it's all over the map who their favorites are. And sometimes they'll come up with one that will surprise you. You know, it'll be like, okay, hey, we haven't seen Lady Welly in 6 books. Bring her back. Where is she? you know, have you killed her off yet? And I'm like, no, she's alive. She's just waiting for the right moment.
Well, like you said, you have to limit some of these supporting characters because if they're in every book, it's, unless it's germane to the plot and you can work them in, there's no point in just throwing them in for throwing them in's sakes.
Exactly. Plus, it would be too many people to try to juggle at any given time. So you do just have to be careful. But I'm always, you know, if there's a plot point that I need to serve, I always look to characters that I've created before to see if I can figure out a way to use them and bring them in, because I do know how much readers love them and would love a little cameo from somebody they haven't seen in a few books. So every once in a while, you know, if I need a little comic relief, I might bring in Lady Rose trying to poison one of her big brothers or... you know, Patricia the Galapagos tortoise might be upended in the shrubbery.
Yeah. So what's the upcoming book cycle? So next year we'll have the 4 older people again, and then the year after that we'll go back to Veronica?
No. So this is 2026, and we've got the 10th Veronica, and then in 2027 I'm publishing a standalone jewel heist book.
Oh.
And then the year after that, we'll be doing another Veronica. So we're going to be alternating, I think, the Veronicas going forward with standalone titles. And the standalones are probably going to be complete standalones, which is, you know, a different set of characters, a different, slightly different world each time we get into them.
So are we done with the older people books then for now?
The Assassins books,
yeah.
We that is a duet of books that we've done really well with, and just decided to change gears a little bit and shift into something that I was really excited about writing, and you know, luckily Berkeley has given me the option to do it. So I'm about halfway through that book right now.
So is it going to be harder for you or easier to write these standalones every couple of years because you have to come up with new characters, new stories?
Oh, it's much harder.
Yeah.
It's much harder, but I really, really love the challenge. And it means that when I go back to a Veronica book, I'm much fresher. And the you know, there's much less of an opportunity for the Veronica books to kind of just be something that I'm doing as opposed to something that I'm really excited to get back to and that I love. You know, I come back fresh and enthused and, you know, with new ideas and new things I want to do with the characters. And so it means that in the long run, the books are going to be better.
Before I let you go here, I have to ask you a question I've been asking all my authors that I've been interviewing lately. I asked Brad Thor this question. I asked Mark Greene this question. They both said, hell no. I have a feeling I'm going to get a different answer from you. Are you excited okay. for the new movie, The Devil Wears Prada 2, out in a couple of months?
Okay, I'm not, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, wow.
Because
okay.
when I watched the first one, I was so heavily influenced that I cut my own bangs. And I'm terrified what might happen this time. As far as watching the powerhouse of Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, and Emily Blunt, cannot wait. love those women. But I'm genuinely and sincerely afraid for what might happen to me personally.
Is there a picture somewhere of you when you cut your bangs?
No, no.
Oh, okay. That's not the answer
Come
I was
on,
expecting.
Mark. Brad Thor. No, I didn't upload any photos.
Brad Thor said to me, "That's probably the only time all year I'll ever get this question."
Yeah, it's a unique question.
Well,
but I'm glad you asked Brad Thor and Mark Graney. I'm glad they need to be asked these questions.
Yes. A Ghastly Catastrophe is out on March 3rd. Always a pleasure talking to you. Look forward to the standalone novel next year. Good luck with everything, and we'll talk to you again in about another year.
Thanks, Mark. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.